thankful to be here this morning and appreciate your singing, your prayers, your kindness and friendliness to me in this meeting. And I'll have a good report to give back to Texas when I get there and tell them about the good folks up here at Radnor. You all have caught me in an interesting study. I've been going through the life of the children of Israel, especially their wilderness wanderings, probably one of the most depressing studies you'll ever have in the Bible. It's just so depressing. And I'm coming to Radnor, and I'm going to preach these depressing sermons to you. Are you sorry you invited me, aren't you? But you know, that's all I got on my mind. It's what I had, what the Lord had given me, so I could change it, and it'd be all me and none of the Lord. That wouldn't be any good whatsoever. But if it's of God, no matter what the subject is, even if it steps on all 10 of our toes, it will be good. So that's I've learned that the hard way. You take what the Lord gives you, and you trust God that He'll give you the blessing to preach and to hear the message. Amen. So let's be in prayer about that. But that's my dilemma. I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. But we're going to turn, God willing, to the book of Numbers chapter 20 this morning. Numbers chapter 20. As you study the wanderings of the Jews, you find that people haven't really changed over the years. We still do the same lousy things they did, we do today. One thing that we are good at doing, we looked at doubting last night. This morning, we're going to be looking at complaining. Complaining. Some of us, and I'll include myself in that, are professional complainers. We've got our doctorate in complainology. We use the good old songs at our church at Fredericksburg, and there's a song in there that I've made everybody learn to sing. The name of it is "I Am a Great Complainer." And I said, in the next edition of this book, they're going to change that to Montgomery CM, because that's my song. I am a great complainer. A lot of times, we're never satisfied. In my 17 years of trying to preach since I was ordained, I've learned you can't please everybody. You either preach too loud, too fast, too slow, too soft. You use too much humor, not enough humor, too much doctrine, too much duty, too much Old Testament, too much New Testament. Preach past 12, you quench the spirit, stopping before 12. You preach to the young people, you don't preach to the young people. You don't preach to the older people, you preach only to the older people. You preach too complex, too simple, you name it. It's been charged to me. So I figured I might as well just please the Lord. And if God's happy, then I'm happy. Now, you may not be happy, but I'm happy that God's happy. And I'm not happy you're unhappy. And I don't want to be unpopular. But I have fallen into the hands of the living God. And it truly is a fearful thing. So, you know, you'll get all kinds of comments. And as I like to tell people, I like to tell people this about your preacher. I'm going to tell this about your preacher. And this is true about any preacher. He's going to say something that you're not going to like. Sooner or later, he's going to say something that you're not going to like. Sooner or later, he's going to misquote a text. He's going to use a double negative. He's going to use bad grammar. Or he's going to say something completely opposite of what he meant. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it, and don't make a beeline to tell him about it, because his wife would have gotten to him first. She's got her hand up back there. They all go to the same school. They all read the same books. They'll get to him first. Don't worry about it. All right. Having said that, let us launch into Numbers chapter 20. Then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into the desert of Zin in the first month. And the people abode in Kadesh, And Miriam died there and was buried there. And there was no water for the congregation. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And the people chode with Moses and spake, saying, Would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. My, my, my. And they're throwing back to chapter 11, verse 1, when they had complained against God, and God had sent a fire into the camp and consumed many of the Jews. And they're saying, we wish we had died in that fire. Then being allowed to live and suffer this great agony that we're going through right now. Nobody knows the trouble we've seen. Nobody has had it rougher than we have. Everybody has it light compared to us. That's what they're saying. And when we say that too. How many times we look down at the younger generation, you don't have it near as bad as I did. And they really don't, you know what I'm saying. My children think it's amazing that I grew up watching black and white television. They can't believe it. Or no internet, no computer, no chat, no websites, no nothing. Books, right, imagination, outdoors, things that you used to play with that didn't have to be plugged into. That's amazing to them. But you know what? I think I had it better than they do, but that's another story. However, we oftentimes, though, think nobody has had it rougher than we've got it right now. This is as bad as it's ever going to get under the sun. And, you know, these Jews have a short memory because they had come to a point like this at one experience, and God blessed them with water. But yet, instead of remembering that, instead of going to God in prayer and asking God, they complain. And they go to Moses and say, we wish that we had died back in those earlier days. And so we read in verse 5, they said, And wherefore have ye made us to come up out of Egypt to bring us unto this evil place? It is no place of seed, or of figs, or of vines, or of pomegranates. Neither is there any water to drink. Well, what do you do about that? You go to the God that created water. You go to the God that can make things that aren't there. And that God still exists today. You know, a lot of times we go out, our church is in such bad shape. We don't have this, we don't have that. And our pastor and our deacons and this, that, and the other. And, oh, what are we going to do? Well, you ought to go to that God of the church, the head of the church. And don't you think he's got the power as he ever has to bless us with the things that we need? I think he does, my beloved friends. And so it is good for us to not complain. That's nothing to be proud of. Now, I can understand doubting, and so can the Lord. He didn't reply against John the Baptist for doubting, but he's got a problem with this complaining. And we ought to have a problem with it as well. And so, Moses, we read in verse 6, And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. If the Jews had just done that, you think about it. My beloved, prayer is something you cannot do too much. You ever gone to bed at night and thought about your day? You know, I just wasted too much of this day praying. And I'm going to have to cut out. I'm praying way too much. If you're like me, you didn't do it enough. Sometimes you didn't do it at all. Oh, but we spent so much of our time complaining. This job, this person, this economy, this traffic, that brother, that sister, you name it. Where could we go but to the Lord? So Moses and Aaron, they did the right thing. They went to God and they fell upon their faces, and God's glory appears unto them. And God speaks with them and says in verse 8, "Take the rod and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink." And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. We are setting up for a happy ending, aren't we? Looking pretty good. God said, just speak to the rock. Just speak to the rock. Speak to the rock. When you speak to the rock, a miracle is going to happen. Water is going to come out of the rock. Now Moses ought to know about this. At one point, God told Moses to strike the rock with the rod. Remember that? What happened when he struck the rock? Water came out. Enough water to feed 2 million people plus all their beasts. That's a lot of water. That's a lot of water. All right? This time, speak to the rock. That's all you got to do. That's easy. Just speak to the rock. But we're going to have a sad ending, I'm afraid. We got a sad ending. We read as we go on in verse 9, "And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, Hear ye now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock?" All right, I've got three lessons I want out of this. Lesson number one, never, 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 never take the Lord's credit. Never, never, never take what belongs to the Lord. He is stingy with it. The Lord doesn't share some things, and this is one of them. His glory, he never shares. It's not ours. It's ours to give to him. What's the problem with Numbers 20, verse 10? What's the problem? Got one word that's a problem. Amen and amen. I pay money for good amens, and I pay money for answers. We fetch you water. Wait a minute, Moses. Do you got the power to draw water out of that rock? No, you don't. So take that "we" out of there. What belongs to the Lord belongs to the Lord. We are here today. We are here this morning to glorify and praise God and to thank him for what he's done for us. Not only on the cross, but what he's done for us in this life. We owe God a lot, don't we? I've never been satisfied with my worship, by the way. Never. Every time I have felt the presence of God, I've been ever so thankful, but I know that I didn't give him glory enough. But I'm going to keep on trying. I want to die trying, because he is too glorious. One day, as the song says, "When I see thee as thou art, I'll praise thee as I ought." That's what I'm looking forward to. God forbid, though. God forbid that I should ever take his glory, saying, "I tell you what, I've got this preaching business all figured out. Just when I think I do, he shows me that I don't. Just when I think I know all there is about a subject, God will send a little child to me to show me he knows more about it than I do." My beloved friends, I am constantly being humbled. I am constantly having to learn this lesson. If it's not God, It's not going to happen. If it's up to me, it's going to get messed up. My friends, I tell the folks at home, I may be your pastor, but God is your head. He is the head of this church. And this church can get along fine without me. And it can get along fine without you. But it cannot get along without the presence of God. As a matter of fact, you take God out of it, you don't have a church anymore. You don't have water out of the rock. You don't have the bread of life. You don't have the preaching of the gospel. All the singing you can sing, it sounds ever so beautiful. My friends, if the Spirit of God is not here, it is not worship. That's what we need. And that's what we ought to be praying for. And if we don't have it, we need to keep praying for it until we get it. And that's what will make a church grow. You can walk into a building and you can tell the Spirit of God is there. I love that, don't you? Where else can you get it, this world? Where else under the sun where you can feel the presence of Almighty God like you can in the house of God itself? And I tell you what, that's what I pray every Sunday. Lord, you've got to be there or it's all in vain. Oh, so that means that preachers just shouldn't study. Just get up there and let the Lord just shovel it to them. That doesn't work either. That doesn't work either. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved. We all ought to study. We all ought to pray. We all ought to be ready when it comes time to present our bodies a living sacrifice. But when it comes down to that final moment, whether or not God is going to give us an entrance into that kingdom, that's all up to the Lord. Oh, but when He does, what a miracle that is. And I think, I know me, I do not give Him the credit good enough, or sometimes I let that completely slip past me. God met with us this day. Something that happens on Sunday nights that y'all may not be aware of. It happens in Texas. I don't know if it happens here in Tennessee. But preachers will call each other on the phone and want to know what they preached on. How was their services? Did you have better liberty than I did? What did you preach on? I'm looking for a good subject, so I'm going to rob your sermon. We do things like that. I'm giving away secrets, but who cares? And I'll, you know, my brother will call, my father will call, some of the other brethren will call. They'll say, David, how was services today? I'll say, well, we had a small crowd. We had a small crowd, but the Lord was there. No, there's a problem with that. Doesn't matter what kind of crowd you had. Was the Lord there? If the Lord was there, why aren't you shouting? You ought to be very happy about that. The Lord came down from heaven and met with us. You say, I enjoy that sermon. I hope you do. I hope you do. When you go through the handshake, I hope you can say that honestly. I enjoyed that sermon. But when you say that, I want you to think about it. You really did? Are you serious? You're putting me on. I mean, I got up there and just talked for you for a little while and you enjoyed it? Well, why did you enjoy it? Well, I felt the Lord. What? Are you kidding me? You felt God here in this place? Yes. How awesome is that? How incredible is that? What if George Bush walked in this building? Well, we'd be getting up and making him feel at home, wouldn't we? Would you call your family tonight and say, the president was with us at church today? You would. I would. But what about God? What about Jehovah? That's better than the president. And we ought to have more respect to that than we do any son of Adam that may come. All right? Must we fetch water out of the rock? No, must God do it? The Apostle Paul, I appreciate, believe in the book, in the book of Acts, chapter 4 and verse 11, real quick. My dear precious wife gave me a new Bible for my birthday, and it's not broke in. It doesn't turn the way it should, and so I'm having to turn these nice, crisp, clean, clear pages. The Apostle Paul, or actually it's the Apostle Peter preaching. He said, this is the stone, verse 11, this is the stone which is set at naught of you builders, which has become head of the corner. Neither is there any salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's no other name. So you can't put your name along with the Lord. I didn't save you, my beloved. But I can remember that night I described when I heard for the first time the gospel. I appreciate that brother preaching. But I know it was of God. And that is amazing to me. The Apostle Paul went right to the Corinthians. He said, it's not Paul. It's not Apollos. It's not Peter. It's the Lord. It's not any of us. Paul said, you know, you're not of me. You're not of Peter. You're of God. He's the one that gives the glory. Him only shalt thou serve. Must we fetch water out of the rock? No. Lesson number one. Then we go to back to Numbers chapter 20, verse 11. And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. Now this is one of the most interesting verses of Scripture I've ever read. First of all, Moses broke the commandment of God. God said, speak to the rock. Moses not only struck it once, he struck it twice. All right? Second lesson. This rock is a picture of Jesus Christ. They all drank of that spiritual rock, Paul said. And the rock that followed them was Christ. Jesus is the rock of ages. He is the rock that is higher than I. Okay? He is the cleft of the rock. Moses at one time said to God, show me thy glory. God said, thou shalt no man see my face and live, but I'll put thee in the cleft of the rock. That's a beautiful picture of Christ, by the way. Beautiful picture. By the way, that cleft on the rock was on the top of the rock, not in the side of the rock. Why is that important? The only way he could see God was to look up. He was totally surrounded by Christ. Jehovah was surrounding him on top. He looked up and saw the Lord. You can disagree with me if you want to, but if you want to be wrong, that's fine. However, that's what I believe. All right? A lot of rocks in the Bible. God said, there is a rock beside me. Wonder what that rock was? That was Christ. Okay? Speak to the rock. Jesus had already been struck. My friends, Jesus has already died for your sins. He does not need to get back on the cross again. Aren't you glad about that? He is not waiting for you to accept him to give you life. You have life based upon the grace of God himself. He is not waiting on you. We do not have a God that is dependent upon our acceptance of him in order to give us eternal life. As a matter of fact, if we're not his, we'll never know him in any sense of the word. But while we walk in this world, we're going to go through a desert land. That's what this world is. Earth is a desert drear, the song we sing. Heaven is my home. We need water from time to time. What do? We go to the rock and we speak. Don't strike him. He's already been crucified. He's already been struck. The cleft is already there. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Don't need to strike him again. But Moses made a great mistake, being lifted up in pride. He said, well, there's going to be something for me to do. There's got to be something for me to show these stubborn, stick-necked people. And in anger, he lifts up the rod and he strikes it twice. The Apostle Paul has something to say about people that do this. This is found in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 24. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24. He says, "For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us." Thank you, Lord, for doing that. I need that. I like that. Jesus is right now making intercession for us. Did you know that? That's what he's doing. He's doing that. While you're blissfully asleep, he's on the job. I'm glad about that. 25, verse 25. "Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." He died once for all. Don't put him back on that cross. The Apostle Paul in the sixth chapter had a problem with people who do that, who crucify the Lord afresh and put him to an open shame. It was a shameful thing to be crucified. Why would we want to put him back on there again when that one sacrifice was enough? Now, when Brother Shane was talking about that simple song we sing, "What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." But I believe that blood only needed to be shed once, and that was sufficient. Verse 27, it says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." He died once for all. Moses strikes the rock. Rock has already been struck. Speak to it. We need water. We need grace right now, don't we? We don't need eternal grace that's been given to us already. But I don't know about you, but I need living grace. I need parenting grace. I need pastoring grace. I need husband grace. I need dying grace. I need grace to get by in this world. I need all kinds of grace. And only one place to get it, and that is the rock of ages. But what do I do? Oh Lord, be merciful unto me and give to me which I need. And that water comes. Now you're probably thinking this, "Oh, Brother Montgomery, you preach a good sermon right now, but I can knock your sermon down like a house of cards." Water still came out of the rock. How about that? Did you see that? He struck the rock twice and water came out. Now, this is where we can all have different opinions. I believe that was part of the mercy of God. That's what I think. Thank you. I don't know why I was sweating that one out today. If that's the case, my friends, if the grace of God is completely dependent upon our faithful obedience, not one of us would receive any grace. Or even the Holy Ghost and the blessings that he has for us here under the sun is completely dependent upon our orthodoxy, we are all in trouble. That means if we do any one thing wrong, we're not going to be blessed. That's the way it was under the law. This is better. This is the New Testament. Now, let me run this by you. This will, if you're going to fall asleep in the sermon, please wake up right now. Now is not the time for you to fall asleep, because you're going to wake up and you're going to think Brother Montgomery's saying something wrong. I'm going to say this. It's going to be a bold statement. I believe the Lord blesses other people in not only the Old Baptist. Thank you. Thank you. We can go on with the meeting now. Everything's all right. All right. I believe that. I believe that the Spirit of God is among these people. I do. Well, Brother Montgomery, their doctrines and this and that and the other. Well, do you want the Lord to search you diligently? And do you think you're going to be found completely perfect in His sight? If that's the case, not one of us will be blessed. But I will say this. You knew there was going to be a but. I don't think they see the beauty by and large like we do. I don't think they see the beauty of the kingdom. And I would to God that they were. The Apostle Paul says, I would that all men were like myself. I would that everybody believed the same thing. There wasn't any debates or religious controversies or scriptural problems. We all just knew exactly what to believe and just went on with it and had a great time. Someday that will be the case. That's going to be heaven. But while we're in these tabernacles of clay, there is going to be contentions. The thing is, don't lose your temper about it. Don't get like Moses did and strike that rock again and say, must I give you water out of the rock? No, in humility. I've learned a whole lot, even in the past 5 years. You know, I've been ordained 17 years. That's hard for me to believe. Hard for me to believe. And I didn't know it all 17 years ago, and I'm still not knowing it all today. And so I'm very much, I try to be very understanding of all people. And so getting back here to Numbers, Moses lifted up his hand, he smote the rock twice, but the water came out. God is merciful. God is merciful. I've come to church in the wrong spirit. Amen. I've come to church in the flesh. I've come to church, this is the last place I wanted to be at. I've come to church, the last thing I wanted to do was preach the gospel. I've gone to church, the last thing I wanted to hear was the songs of Zion. God broke me and gave me a blessing. Water came out of that rock when I didn't deserve it. I've committed sin in my life. If you've known everything that I've done, you'd never want me to preach to you. But if I've known everything you've done, I'd know exactly what to preach to you, is like I like to tell people. But we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We come to this building saved, yes, but we're still in this body. Saved sinners. And we're going to go out and sin. We're probably going to sin tomorrow. And we're probably going to sin the next day. And that's no excuse. And I'm not justifying it. And I'm not trying to make you think it's okay. But that's just the way it is. But water comes out of the rock anyway. I'll tell you this too. I've heard people come to me and said, I'll join the church. When I get straight with the Lord, I'll join the church then. You know that day you'll get straightened out? It's when you get straightened out in that casket and they file by on your funeral and you're straightened out there. But it's a little bit late, isn't it? Say, well, I'm just not worthy to join the church. Amen and amen, you're not. Come anyway. You can say, well, I just feel like I need to go sow my wild oats. If you reap the wind, you'll sow the whirlwind. You sow the wind, you'll reap the whirlwind. You'll get three times more than you put into it. Why would you want to sow wild oats? You'll get a bunch back in return that's no good. That's a myth of this society of sowing wild oats. Boy, I sowed mine for a little while and I saw where that was headed. So I threw all that out in the trash. Right now is when you need the Lord. Right now. Today, if you'll hear His voice, harden not your hearts in the day of provocation. All right? The third lesson about this, though, is that we need to do and always try to do exactly what God says do. Exactly what God says do. God said, speak to the rock. He didn't say, change it a little bit. Okay, now that, you know what this tells me? This tells me that the church that Jesus built is good enough 2,000 years after it was built. Okay? It doesn't need to change. That's what I'm saying. It doesn't need to change. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Okay? He put things into his New Testament church. That's all the church needs. Preaching, praying, and singing. He gave us a Bible to preach out of. He gave us a heart to make the melody. He gave us spiritual life to receive it. All we need, my friends, is what God has put in. And to use these things and to be appreciative of them, God will bless us. You see, you can't improve on God. Now, a lot of times, and I hear this a lot. I hear this a lot. Well, we got to stimulate interest. We got to do this. We got to do this. We got to do this. Well, if people are bored with God, they are certainly going to be bored with anything you come up with. People say, well, we need to have church picnics. We need to have church sings. We need to have Bible studies. I'm making you nervous, but just hang on with me. You want to know how to make bored people more bored? Is have a Bible study. I've tried it. You want to make bored people more bored? Have a singing. Go have a picnic. You ever have a boring picnic with church people? I've had plenty of them. You know what you're doing? You're striking the rock. Actually, you're beating your head against the rock. Speak to the rock. He'll tell you what you need to do. Nothing wrong with having a Bible study if you're doing it for the right reason. Nothing wrong with having a singing if you're doing it for the right reason. Nothing wrong with having a picnic. I like to eat probably more than anybody in this building. You tell me where the picnic is, I'll be there. Because picnics have what these things call picnic baskets, which I like very much. I'll be there. But my friends, to do it to stimulate interest, that's the wrong reason to have it. But if you enjoy each other's fellowship, and you want to encourage one another and draw closer together, that's fine. All right? But what people need to be interested in is God, His Son Jesus Christ, and the truth of salvation by grace. They're not interested in that. They're interested in the wrong things. Well, you know, we can't get by without that family. Oh, yes, you can. Well, we can't get by without that preacher. Yes, you can. We can't get by without that location. We've got to get that new building or we're just going to bite the dust. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. You could be meeting in a hole in the rock. If God's with you, you'll be blessed. All right? Do it exactly the way God said. When we sing, use the heart that He's placed in you. I believe we have in this meeting, and I'm thankful for it. When He says preach, He says preach exactly what I tell you to preach. Study to show yourself approved, but preach what I tell you to preach. When He says it's time to come forward, you come and join the church. And you join in the mode that Jesus Himself was baptized. And when it comes time for communion and feet washing, you do it exactly the way the Lord put it in the church. You know one reason why I like feet washing among many? There's really no way you can upgrade it. You can't do it. How much differently can you pour water in a basin and wash somebody's feet? What variation can you put in that? I love it. We wash feet in Texas. And they'll come to fight with you if you want to take it away from them. All right, we need to do things exactly as the Lord said do. But still, water came from the rock. God blesses us when we fail, beloved. God is a merciful God. He knows our sins. He knows our frame. He knows what we're thinking. He knows what we have need of yet before we ask. We can't outsmart God. We can't fool God. We can't pull the wool over God's eyes. You can fool me. You can fool these folks. You can't fool God. He knows that you're probably wishing that I quit right now. He knows that. He knows that. He knows I hope Brother David preaches on something else this afternoon. He knows that. He knows exactly what you're... But you know what, beloved? He loves you anyway. He loves you anyway. We're real good to hold grudges. I'm glad God is not in the business of holding grudges. If that's the case, when I meet him on the other side, he'll have a lot of negative things to say to me. And I don't think I'll hear those blessed words, "Come in, ye blessed of the Father, inherit the kingdom prepared from the foundation of the world." But I pray and trust salvation is by grace. And I'll hear those words. I don't deserve it, but thank God for amazing grace. Thank God that water came out of that rock. Thank God for the love he had for his people. Thank God for his protection. If it was to be, my friends, we're here as testimonies to the grace of Almighty God and the fact that the water comes out of the rock even when we don't do what he says do and we misuse and misabuse and take the glory for ourselves. His love and his mercy endureth forever. And the water comes out and gives us a drink. But oh, it's so much better when we do exactly what he says. Because when we do, we can go into that promised land and we can see things that are more beautiful than anything this world has to give. That's another subject. May God bless you, is my prayer.